You're recording.
All right, back in open session. We are on section four, number seven. Jane, you had assumed the lead even though it doesn't have your.
I'm ready. If you want me to take it, I'm ready. Okay, Mr. Chairman, some references to the current consent agreement that Dr. Fitzgerald is under, page 16. Item number 18 reads, respondents shall obey all laws and rules governing the practice of veterinary medicine in this state, and obey all federal, state, and local criminal laws. Respondents shall report to the board within 10 days any misdemeanor or felony arrest or conviction. I believe the charges were filed. I believe there may be compliance issues with both of those. Based on the police reports that we have and the 10-day notification requirement. So that was two areas of concern I had regarding compliance. Dr. Hizzers, do you have any comments to make on that?
Yes. This is going to sound a little bit foolish, but I honestly didn't recognize that I had in fact been arrested. I did have a medical event and was taken to the hospital. My parents picked me up, but I was never given a ticket or charged with anything for several months. I honestly, I have no experience with this. I feel a little foolish, but I honestly just didn't know.
Okay. And when were you charged exactly? Do you remember that date?
I've been informed that I was formally charged on September 27th when I was in Panama. And
2/22/21, right?
Excuse me?
9/22/2019.
I believe it was 9/27/21.
Okay.
Yes. So,
okay. Thank you.
5 months later, I was charged, but was not aware of that as I was in Panama.
Right, but the charge was on 9/27/21, correct?
I believe so, yes. That's what my lawyer has told me.
And when was the self-report, the date of the self-report, I don't believe falls within the 10-day requirement?
We made the self-report on January 14, 2022.
Yes. Unfortunately, that does not fall within the 10-day requirement.
This is Dr. Reyes. A clarification real quick. When did you learn about the charge? What day was that?
That was kind of late December, mid-December.
Okay. And then once you learned about it, why was it not submitted within 10 days of that time?
I honestly have to admit I don't have a good answer for that. There was so much going on in my life, and I certainly knew it was something I needed to take care of. But I was hoping to get a little bit more information about what any of this meant.
Okay. And this is still pending? Have you submitted a, you know?
Yes, yeah, so we're in the status of the case. It's her attorney who is not here on this matter. Her attorney submitted what's called a notice of appearance, mm-hmm. And filed essentially a not guilty plea. We have not received any discovery yet, which means we don't have police reports or any other information. This has been charged in a way I've actually never seen. I've never seen, there's two ways you charge DUIs. When you, if you get pulled over for having a drug in your system, it doesn't matter what it is. But let's say you have something illegal like methamphetamine. You get charged with something called A1, which is being impaired to the slightest degree by that drug. And then A3, which is you have that drug in your system and you're not supposed to. Even with the medication cases, they usually charge A3. They didn't charge A3, they only charged an impaired to the slightest degree. So my guess is they hit her PMP and they saw that she's actually lawfully prescribed these drugs. And so it was a lawful drug that likely hit as the DUI drug that they're alleging. But we don't even have the levels of it at this point. And so I can't even tell you what their basis is to believe that this was a DUI case. We just don't have any information at this point.
So this was in relation to this happening on, sorry, go back, that was in April, right? This happened in April. So they charged you for that date, but what date was the actual charge written, do you know?
So they did a process called a long form, which happens is the police take their packet of materials, give it to the prosecutor, prosecutor reviews it. This prosecutor gave it to the court on September 27th of 2021, so he filed it like a lawsuit. I can't tell you, based on the documentation that I have, when it was sent to Dr. Hisrich or when it was ultimately received at her house, but if the way it under, oddly enough, under criminal law, you don't have to process serve or certified mail serve someone. You can actually just toss it in the mail, and that's sufficient service under criminal law. So we deal with this a lot with people who get warrants because they have not, they moved all my U of A and ASU kids when they travel and they go back home and they get served with a criminal suit, they get a warrant because it got sent to their dorm. So this is somewhat similar in that the complaint hit, but she was in Panama and there was no notice of it until her return.
So when you learned about it in December, how did you learn about it? Did someone say, hey, there's a warrant out for you? Did you just have to search your name? What led you to find out in December?
Going through my mail.
Okay.
And I mean, the first thing I saw, as Mr. Carey said, was a notice from ADOT that my license had been suspended. Mm-hmm. And I was shocked and really confused, and then did some digging and found out what had happened and contacted a lawyer.
So when you checked your mail, you found the ADOT revocation, or did you find the actual paperwork for the charge?
Just the ADOT notification.
In December?
Correct.
Then you had to track down what the heck was going on.
Yes.
So when did you learn of the actual charge? Do you remember roughly what day that was?
That was December 28th.
Okay. All right, sorry, I kept interrupting you. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. You were asking something that I was going to ask.
Just maybe, we're on the same wavelength sometimes.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Dr. Hisrich, one comment I'd like to kind of correct that your counsel made, that was noted that it wasn't an illegal drug that you were under the influence of. Even alcohol, marijuana, all of those things which are legal, you can still have a DUI under. So the question of the legality of the drug and the prescription, I'm glad you know it was a prescription drug, but that does not undo the DUI.
And I would just note for the board members, for our position on this, if it's a legal drug, under Arizona law, there is a justification defense that she was not impaired by it, and there hasn't been any showing of that. So if it comes back that the drug that the prosecutor believes is impairing, her attorney will file something to indicate that it is a defense that she was not actually impaired by the drug, and that would give her a legal defense to any claim of DUI. And I litigated that case before the Court of Appeals a few years ago. And there's another case called Shulkovorkian, which says that if it's a metabolite, it's not considered an impairing. So The problem we have is we just don't have information. And I know in the summary, there was a discussion, you might have police reports at this point. We don't have police reports. We made the requests, we just don't have any information at this point concerning what exactly they're alleging and what the quantitations of any substance are. So we're a little bit at sea, and you know, our goal is to get the self-report in front of you to make sure you have it. And obviously her flag, counsel and flag will take the next step and litigate the DUI. And certainly, you know, if she takes a plea or there's a finding that she did in fact violate Arizona law, the board has available to it any remedies that it would choose to take at that point.
Well, conviction is not required for to determine compliance with the consent agreement. It's basically a charge or arrest or a conviction.
And I was going to follow a question ahead based on what you're saying here. So the back offense that you took in April, and said we had a DUI around that. Was that the first time you'd taken it, or you had it before?
I had had it before.
And have you ever had a history of it impairing you? I mean, did you still feel like when you took it, you still felt mentally capable of driving and stuff?
Yes, I had not previously had a problem. And honestly, it was kind of a weird day. I hadn't been sleeping very well. And so I had taken some trazodone and kind of more in the middle of the night than when I normally do just at bedtime.
Well, and I think my question was kind of more surrounding, you haven't had a history of being impaired from this.
No.
It's not like every time you take it, you're walking into walls.
No, not at all.
So if we had an adverse reaction this time, it was more of a one-off thing that you should know, because I think on all these medications, at least most of them, it doesn't say do not drive. It tends to say if you're getting drowsy, don't drive or be careful. So since we have a history, if it's a one-off thing where this affected you, I mean, that's a little bit harder to judge and say, hey, you made bad judgment by driving and taking this. I mean, that's a very hard thing to miss hitting on. I think the only thing that's really in front of us right now is the 10-day thing. I mean, everything's still pending through the courts, and it could be dismissed. But I mean, and then this is just kind of taking up time in the story. But yeah, so I don't think we can really comment on that case at this point. It's a 10-day thing. And my.
Really? It was like 17 days.
Well, yeah, that's my
question. From the time that she found out about it when they self reported, you're talking 17 calendar days, 9 business days.
Well, and it's around a holiday weekend. So we found out on December 28th, which now we go into New Year's and all this. So, yes, it's beyond. That 10 days, I think it's potentially reasonable beyond the 10 days. If we do anything, honestly, I'd be looking at a letter of concern at the most at this point. But I don't think we need to spend too much time on this. And then I would say, let us know what the results of the actual case are. But maybe I'm wrong.
My concern is that it was not just that one drug that was evidently had been taken that day. In response to, I'm not sure if I can say it, but there were other, been reported that there were other medications taken that day, which multiple medications which may have been interacted.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have the medical or pharmaceutical knowledge to know that, but there was evidently a lot of medications taken.
But I think that's something we have to let go through the courts before we can really truly comment personally.
If she had a hospital visit, did she have a blood test?
That would be the answer to your question, Ms. Allman.
I can clarify several things for the board. First of all, I wanted to be clear that Dr. Hisrich didn't get a notice of her charges and what she was charged with until contact with her counsel on the 28th. Ms. Edwards, it appears, did quash the warrant on the 8th of December, but she didn't have a notice as to what she was charged with until the 28th. And it's all in the docket, so we want to make sure that you're clear. I don't want people doing math on wrong dates. So to Dr. James, just to be sure that we're on the same page about dates. I can't tell you, I mean, baclofen, I just pulled it up, it has a don't drive until you know how it affects you notice. I also can't opine without seeing exactly what's in her system about the additive effect of the different substances on each other. That would be something that, again, we're gonna need the toxicology for. What typically happens based on how Dr. Hisrich has explained it, is she's taken to a hospital, The DPS officer or the local officers will have a blood kit that they will give to a phlebotomist or a nurse to draw additional tubes, and then they take those tubes to DPS for testing. So that's probably how this played out and why we're not in an arrest situation with a citation or anything like that. So just to clarify.
When, okay, when was the warrant for?
When was the warrant? The warrant looks like, and again, this docket is at the mercy of when people put stuff in the computer, but it looks like they updated the disposition of the case, and the FTA was satisfied, the failure to appear was satisfied on December 8th, and that triggered a bond being voided. The judge, or Ms. Edwards, was appointed on the 14th of December. And it looks like that's when the notice of appearance was filed. So she filed her notice of appearance on the 14th, pleading not guilty. And Dr. Hizrich indicated she received personal notice from her attorney about the actual charges she was facing on around the 28th.
So this is where I'm kind of a little lost on that. So the warrant was quashed, you said, on the 8th of December.
As far as I can tell, I mean, because the bond was voided and then the MVD was issued a new notice that said that she satisfied it. There is an entry on November 23rd saying the warrant was quashed, but I can't tell what that is because it looks like the warrant was issued twice. There's a warrant quashed, so I can't from the docket really see, because I'm using the Superior Supreme Court's docket, which is not ideal. I can get more information through a records request.
Well, my thing is, if it was quashed before you even knew about it, 20 days before you even knew about it, you had no interaction. You didn't request anything. You didn't do anything. This was on there, and they found we're going to quash this for whatever reason without you even knowing, right? I mean, were you aware of anything on the 8th? Or was it only until the 28th that you knew? Because that's just...
She wasn't even back in the
country. No, I was.
Yeah. So if it was quashed before you even intervening in it. Which tells me there's something on their end that they were like, oh, let's stop this, but I don't know, maybe not. I have a lawyer.
No, to be clear, I didn't arrive home until the 20th, and my father saw several ADOT notices, and he asked me if he could open them. He actually contacted Wendy Edwards on my behalf. When I was still in Panama and I was completely out of service that week on a multi-day clinic. So he definitely got this ball rolling and started, and they quashed it. And I had one very brief conversation with her, but the internet wasn't working very well and I couldn't speak to her for very long. It wasn't until I actually got back and had an appointment with her on December 28th that she kind of filled me in on everything that was happening, including the charges and the charge date of September 27th.
Okay, so you were made aware in discussions with your father, if I'm hearing you correctly, Dr. Hizrich, that he opened and you told him to go ahead and open the notices. From ADOT, did he read them to you?
No.
No? Did you all have any communication about them between the 26th of November and December the 28th?
He made me aware that my license was suspended and that he was going to contact a lawyer on my behalf.
And you remember approximately when that was?
It was just before I was leaving for this multi-day trip. I think beginning of December.
Okay, around 12. Okay. And one quick follow-up question. Did those ADOT notices give a reason for the suspension?
It said failure to appear for criminal something.
Pardon?
It said failure to appear for criminal something.
Sorry, I don't remember the exact verbiage. But I was very confused by that because I hadn't received any previous notices about a court appointment.
But it would appear that around the first of, sometime around the 1st of December, you received verbally, you may not have seen it, information that there was from ADOT that there was a failure to appear because of criminal charges, correct?
Yes. So I was made aware of it by my dad. I was out of service for a couple of weeks. He moved everything forward with Wendy, and things got a little bit hectic there at the end of my trip. I got home and was able to start engaging a lot more and dealing with it myself.
And to the board member's question, I do have the notice in front of me, and it just says failure to appear for criminal violation. It does not list the violation, and it cites to the general statute that is triggered if you fail to appear, a notice going to the MVD. I would note that the vast majority of criminal traffic violations are actually not on the board's 32-3208 disclosure list. So, you know, obviously my argument, if this were to advance, would be she didn't have sufficient notice from the MVD of what the charge was. Again, I'm doing what I've been told not to do by many mentors of Gilding the Lily at this point, so I don't want to get too far into the weeds, but the notice does not indicate to her that it's a DUI or that there's not enough here for her to conclude that it's a reportable offense under 32-3208. And for the purpose of the consent agreement, it says arrest or conviction. It actually doesn't say charge, and I think that's because 32-3208 is the gap filler for that. So
let me take a stick here real quick, because I don't think there's too many areas on this dead horse that we can beat. This is not an open case on this particular thing. This is just, do we want to open case, right? I mean, if we were going to offer a letter, I mean, this is basically just self-reporting and talking about the time.
Or you just pend it until you get it. I mean, typically, we get a report, we would wait until, we would ask the person to tell us what happens at the end.
Well, and that's kind of, I mean, this is not an open case, this particular issue, right?
That's correct.
So I would, I mean, I can just see with the holidays, with everything going on, 17 days of actual calendar days is close enough to 10 business days, in my opinion. I don't think, again, going back to the deceit question, I don't think there's any kind of intention for deceit here. I think this is a perfect storm of bad things. We are past the 10 days, but I mean, more than a letter of concern, which isn't worth opening a case or a letter of concern on that, I don't know. But otherwise, I would just say, let's see how this plays out through the courts and kind of go from there. Let's try and update those medical records with the medications and all that kind of stuff. Let's get all that finalized and finished. But I mean, other than that, I see this as an opportunity to kind of clean up and tie up those loose ends, as opposed to, I think there's a major problem here. I think this is just a bad situation, a storm. Is it worth going in and doing something?
And could I ask that one of the loose ends be that you tell us what date in April that you alleged that occurred, because of April 2021, and you're saying that the company is wrong, saying August 3rd?
It's April 3rd.
April 3rd.
Yeah, well, the police report will clear that up. I have no idea how this got misstated in there, but we'll get you the police report as soon as it comes in from discovery.
Thanks.
Yeah, if any more big pertinent information, if the drug test or something else, come up, please submit that early. But I personally can chalk this up too. It's just, I think there was a positive intent, and it just things happened.
Okay, and you made that motion.
I don't even know if it's a motion. It's not an open case, is it?
Letter of concern?
No, because we have to open a case to do it.
Okay.
That's why I'm like, yeah,
then, okay, that. Then just noted in the record, yeah. It's on the audio tape that it was 17 to 10 days.
Yeah.
The only other thing I would add is there's been several hiccups along the way so far with your consent, and so I hope we're like moving, you know, into not, no offense, not seeing you quite as frequently, but I know a lot of them have been out of your control with, you know, some of the drug testing and things like that, but I just just hope for us.
And of course, lots of other processes.
Of course.
Not that we don't want us.
You're always welcome.
Always welcome, absolutely.
Yes, I will be very careful to make sure the second half of this consent agreement goes very much by the book.
Yes, compliance is your responsibility.
Understood, thank you.
Thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you.
Mr. Curry, for coming out.
Maybe next time I can tell you a little bit about Panama.
Bring pictures. Bring pictures. I expect a 40-slide-hour presentation.
All right. Got our checklist done, so we should be able to go right down the list in order. Unless all our guests are gone, is that a good time for potty break, or you want to wait till you're really hurting and then go? Huh?
I'm full either way.
I vote we do that. I'm gonna find out.